Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of
P&B Unplugged.
Oh man, what a
voice.
Who's
the guy that does the Thriller, Michael Jackson?
Oh, Vincent, come on.
Van
That's
Gogh?
A trivia
Vincent
question.
Price? Yep.
That's you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If I could think of any of the lyrics right now, I would try to do it. But he has a ridiculously good voice.
You know what I'm talking about, though, don't you?
Yes, yes I do. Yeah.
Caleb, tell us about your new hat.
This new hat is just in out of the box. These are the beautiful new Phillips and Banks
hat.
It's a Richardson. Come on.
That's a nice hat, old son.
It is nice, man. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. So Carmen has heard our cries. From Jacob and I.
Your cries have awoken the master.
Well, Carmen this time, but but she got us some P&B hats, so you'll have to come out and see us in concert, but we'll have them, we've got them, and we're excited for you to get them. So,
it's even got that cool little leather pouch.
I know, man.
Pouch?
I know.
Patch?
Patch and patch.
They got pockets.
It has pockets in the side.
We
might
be
a cool thing.
Nobody has seen this. Never mind. I was going to make a SpongeBob joke, but it ain't even worth it.
Autumn, tell us about your hat.
Oh, it says Dolly on the front.
There
is that your idol?
Coat of many colors.
Yeah,
on the
like brand. The quilt.
Man, don't start saying that.
That's awesome.
Back through the years.
I
got it at Dollywood.
I cry every time I hear that song.
I go wandering once again.
You're so sensitive.
All right, Autumn, what are you drinking tonight?
Real cocoa, organic coconut water. Pressed, unsweetened.
I tried it, and it's... It... Okay.
He's going to say awful.
It's almost gone.
It is... terrible.
The flavor is good. I just wish it was more milky instead of more watery, but it is called coconut water.
They have... at Trader Joe's, they have one called coconut smoothie, and you would like it. It's, like, really thick.
Yeah, I think I would like that better.
It's delicious.
All right, so...
what are you drinking?
Yeah, Caleb, what are you drinking? Oh.
I'm drinking water.
Oh, Carmen.
Classic.
Sorry.
Water.
Mm-hmm.
I have coffee in this cup that I borrowed from you. And then I also have a glass of ice water on the side.
I didn't even see that.
Just in case, brother.
I thought at first that this was going to be some kind of big announcement. Because the coffee cup says Papa Bear on it.
Nope.
Oh,
just
what I'm
chunky.
Talking about.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope,
chunky
just
and
joking.
Out of water now.
Oh.
That's funny. All right. And so Carmen's drinking water, and I'm drinking nothing.
You already had a cup of coffee.
I did have a cup of coffee as soon as I got home, just a few minutes ago. Olivia is at church right now, and she will be back later.
She'll probably come through this door.
Yeah,
while we're recording.
She goes to youth group on Wednesday nights at my dad's church here in Bristol. Anyway, we are Phillips and Banks, and we're excited to be with you wherever you're watching from. So the first episode, guys, that went really well. It was a question and answer session. The second episode was literally a Seinfeld episode, and it was about nothing.
Show about nothing.
Yeah, it really was.
It's beautiful.
It was. And we ended up calling it nostalgia because we talked a lot about, just memories from our past and things like that. And then... this past week, what did we do?
The top five.
That's right. We did a top five episode, top five gospel songs that have impacted us, and we made you a little playlist. We hope that you've listened to some of those.
Oh, yeah.
And now, tonight, we're going to do something really cool. We're gonna do...
our villain origin stories. No.
No, but we really are. We just wanted to tell you about how the group came to be. I thought this would be good because... some people that are watching, and many people that have followed us for years, probably don't know all the details of this story.
It's true. I was thinking, sorry, my brain went to the villain stories. I'm like, this is how I became the Socks with Sandals man.
What?
That's my villain character.
That is off the wall, Caleb.
You know, I wore Socks with Sandals to your house tonight.
Hey,
she was offended.
Oh, and by the way, Caleb shaved off his beard, and you can see his dimples.
Aww.
Smile. Oh, look at those. Aren't they cute? So, Caleb looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin tonight.
Oh, I told when Autumn got done, she all trimmed it up and lined it up for me, and I said, I look like I belong in a biker club.
If you want to hear Caleb's origin story, give me a heck yeah.
Next week, our podcast is going to be our top five wrestlers.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that would be awesome.
Okay, I was joking.
I'm going to be taking that.
I don't even know Carmen.
I don't either.
I'm going to be like, uh-huh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that guy.
You're going to make it.
Smoke me another one.
What are we talking about tonight?
The origin story of Phillips and Banks, how it
Where
all started.
Where do we begin?
Origin, Where? The original.
Right. Where did it all come from? How did it all start?
Oh, good.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Well, back on December the 1st, 1987.
No, we ain't going back to your birth.
Holy crap.
And she never stopped saying that.
Amen.
Too far, too far. Now come up a little bit.
Oh, well, fast forward a few years.
About 2017,
probably? Yeah, 2017. So, I hate to start it like this, but a friend of ours, her name was Janice Owens, and Janice had been diagnosed.
She would have laughed at that.
Yeah, she had been. It all starts with Janice Owens.
It all starts with Janice.
Oh, yeah, she's loving that right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Janice Owens was a friend of ours, and she had gotten sick, and she had ALS, and they diagnosed her, and within a year, she passed away. It was pretty tragic, actually. And the three of us, was it Caleb too?
No, well, I was running sound.
He was
that
there,
funeral,
but
really.
Okay, all right. So Caleb was running sound for the funeral, and the three of us sang, and there was a pastor that approached me afterward, and he said, hey, would you all like to come and sing at our homecoming? And so we went and did that. But and when we went and sang for that homecoming, it was like we didn't have. I mean, you weren't even there, right?
Nope.
Nope.
I don't know where.
I can't remember when you came along in all of this.
I think the first time I remember coming and singing with you all was. Your dad had the jail ministry benefit over, not even at a whatever that place is on 11E, but anyways, they're having the big banquet thing, and you're like, "Come on, man, you can eat." And I was like,
"I'm in,
I'm in." And I remember I was telling somebody this the other day when we first started, the three of you would sing, and then you'd say, "Caleb, come on up here and sing us one." And so I would just sit down to. I had a front row seat at the concert.
That's right. Because, well, the problem was we only had three parts.
Right.
And at the time, we didn't really know that you could sing bass and lead and tenor and
every other part
that you want to. So, but anyway, we got together one night and Caleb was like, well, I guess I could try to sing bass.
I think it started with when we did Mary Did You Know, the first time we had to sing that together. Somebody else was singing bass, and I was doing beatbox. As they were doing beatbox, I was humming along with the bass notes, and that's why I told Carmen, I said, hey, I don't know if this is right, but I think I can sing some of these notes. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, they sound really nice.
So,
but back in way up.
Let's go backwards.
Go backwards
even,
for a minute.
And we'll catch it and pull it back up to where you're talking about now. We all, Jacob and I were working at this ministry. It was performance-based ministry, but they were gospel-centered. And we were working there. Autumn came as a, how old were you?
Ooh. Like when I was technically like there.
Volunteer, yeah.
Yeah, just like 17 probably. Or you mean like earlier than that?
Oh, no, earlier.
Oh, I was probably 13.
13 years old.
So
she comes.
Unfortunately, we've known
unfortunately,
her.
We are still here.
I'm just kidding. No.
So she came as an actor, like a volunteer actor, and we were working there, and we would do shows too. And so she came along, and then when she graduated high school, she decided to become a summer intern. And the girl summer intern stayed with us in our house. Downstairs in our basement.
In the dungeon.
But Autumn loved it.
Yeah.
Only because it was really, really dark.
Dark, cold.
So she came as a summer intern and then stayed on and served with us another 3 years after that. Mm-hmm. And in that time, Caleb came around to this place that we were working, and he started volunteering. And then next thing you know...
Oh, you can't even see me.
It's on his left side.
I was going like this.
So they got married, and then...
Then I moved out, finally.
Well, this is a funny story about when I knew that Caleb was interested in Autumn. One night, Caleb was like, "Hey, man, I want to take you to
Waffle House. Where else would you go? Come on.
Bro, Waffle House.
Jacob has always hated Waffle House.
It's not, okay. It's not that I hate Waffle House. It's just, it is...
It's rough.
It's rough on my belly. That's all.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll stop there. It's rough on my belly. But anyway, he takes me to Waffle House, and he's like, "Hey, man."
Like, you're my dad.
Yeah, it was so weird. I guess it was because I was living in your house or something. You were living in my house.
You were living in my house.
And so he took me to Waffle House, and he's like, "Hey, man, I need to ask you a question." I was like, "Oh, you want to ask Autumn out on a date?" He was like, "How did you know that?"
It was pretty obvious.
And so I was like, so this is what I told Caleb. You remember what I told you?
Yes,
what did I tell
do,
you?
Actually, Jacob didn't give me the actual, like, you know, the bro talk, like a normal, "Yeah, man, that's a great night." He said, "Now, brother, you need to be prepared if she tells you no."
Yeah, I should have, too.
Oh, okay.
The only reason I said that was because, you know, Autumn's pretty open about...
Too much.
A lot of things. And she just... I just didn't know if she was interested in a boyfriend at the time.
That's true. And I think I spent probably 30 minutes like explaining to her after we had that chat. You know, I came over and...
In this room.
Let's continue. I'll get there in a minute because that's... My memories are flooding back. Just
okay, oh, so... Well, anyway, so that's kind of how our friendship started, how we met.
What is 30 minus 13?
30 minus 13.
17.
What? Oh, we've known each other 17
that's
years?
That's crazy.
Wow.
Oh, that is crazy.
That's don't awesome. Like
that. It's been a long time.
That's awesome, though.
A long time.
So, and I remember when Autumn first started, and she didn't really sing much in front of, like, she went to, didn't you go to a high school that didn't have chorus?
Yeah, we didn't have chorus. No
that
choir.
Is so weird.
I was in band, but
so when she started to sing, I was like, "That girl can sing. She's we need to like use her in the show, like in a performance or whatever." Anyway, she was very shy at the time.
Still, kind of is.
Not shy.
Just in the right setting. It's got to be the right setting.
Well, Speaking of shy, that's what I was going to say. I think I shared this on one of our podcasts or maybe on the Facebook Live, but whenever I proposed to Autumn, Jacob called right before I asked the question.
We went to Biltmore.
So, but think about this too. Whenever I came over to ask Autumn out, you're like, we had talked, and Jacob's like, "Don't worry, man, we won't be in there." So instead of just like everybody's, he's like, "Well, me and Carmen and Libby is going to go in the bedroom for no good reason to hang out."
We were sitting right there,
and I was like, "Well, I guess that's my cue to go."
And I was like, we were all like sitting here watching a movie, and I was like,
"What are they doing?"
Okay. And I was
totally oblivious.
Guess it's bedtime at 7 o'clock.
That's where I said my memories came. I forgot all about that. I love you, man.
I love you too, brother.
So after they got married in between shows, also. Yeah.
We had a 2 o'clock show, and then we had a 7 o'clock show, and they got married...
At 4 o'clock.
I had a fake wife at one show. Then I got married and got my real wife. And then I had a different wife later on that night.
What he means by that is that in the show, the character he played, he was married in the show. Then he got really married to Autumn. And then in the next show, there was a fill-in for the lead role in the show. So he had another
it's
wife.
Like sister wives.
You got to be careful, brother.
I know, brother. I know.
Anyway, so after there was some stirring in our life, and just felt the Lord was kind of, you know, how he stirs the waters a little bit. It's time to reevaluate where you are and what he's leading you to do. And so we went away on a
retreat.
We did. We went on a little spiritual retreat. And
at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville. That's a great place to go if you ever get a chance.
Oh, and so anyway, we left there knowing that it was time to leave where we were. But we didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't have for sure what's next. We just knew it was time to move on. So
I started doing anything and everything I could to just kind of pay the bills. I had ran a little mowing business when I was in high school, and my dad ran a mowing business also. And so I was doing a lot of mowing, and then I got a job as a janitor at...
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I got a job as a janitor at Bluff City Town Hall, and it's like the little, smallest little... It's got a courthouse in the middle, and then the... A police department on one side, and on the other side is where, like, you go in and pay your water bill or whatever.
A clerk.
Absolutely.
A clerk's office.
And the mayor.
And the mayor's office is over there, too. And so I would go in, like, twice a month and clean. And I'll never forget, I was cleaning one of the bathrooms, and I was down on my hands and knees scrubbing a toilet. And I've told this story many times, but before we went into ministry... We went to college down near Knoxville, Tennessee, which is where the University of Tennessee is. And then it was in a little town called Jefferson City, Tennessee. And it was a little college called Carson Newman. It's now a university, but at the time we attended, it was called Carson Newman College. We were both music majors there. And I remember being down on my knees scrubbing that toilet. And I was praying to God. And I was really asking God, like... Lord, what are you, like, what is going on? I mean, you know, at that point I had been graduated from college for like 8 years probably, and it was just a really confusing time in my life where God was taking us and leading us, and I was very confused and bewildered. I didn't know what in the world was going on, and I remember, like, I would just stop cleaning, and I was crying my eyes out
at the toilet
and I was like, God, what is going on? It just seemed like the Lord was saying, just be faithful in where I have you, just be faithful in what you're doing. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, it's like mowing yards and cleaning toilets. And so that's what I did for a little while anyway, and until all this kind of formed.
And but, we'll get to that. I guess that was later, but so when we left, we were doing this, and that's where Stuck in the Wilderness, the song Stuck in the Wilderness, kind of came from that too, because it was like we were in that season that felt like a wilderness where we didn't know what was next, and didn't know when the next was, you know. And so I just kept praying that I didn't want to get stuck in the wilderness, because I didn't have faith enough to trust that God was going to lead us to the next place, or that he was going to be faithful in the next thing, or what was next, you know, if he knew or was ever going to tell me. I didn't want to get stuck where we were. So that was our prayer through that whole time. And then after that, these two also came out of that other ministry that we were part of at the time. They felt led to get away. Now we're back to the funeral and the first service we ever did. Yeah. We had sung together before, which is why we were singing together at the funeral.
Now,
and then...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was thinking of... there was one service that I think I was going to go with you. I went the second time, not the first time, to Emory United Methodist. That was...
Oh, yeah.
I think that was...
How do you even remember that?
Because Nyleen talks about it. You weren't with them the first time, Caleb, and I was like, yeah, it's so true.
I don't even remember what happened to me this morning.
It was the singing on the hill thing.
Outside, probably.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a question really quick. Is this something that, like, and you can answer honestly, is this something that you always wanted to to do, like sing.
Never in a million. I'm kidding.
Like sing kidding. Southern gospel music, travel, and do all that sort of thing. Because I know that Autumn really likes Southern gospel, but I'm just curious if it's something that everybody always kind of wanted to do, or if it was something that just you're doing it because God's making you or whatever.
Well, I don't know if this really is not my answer, but wasn't it you that was telling, you and Janice, speaking of Janice Owens, used to talk about, y'all need to make a CD together. Wasn't that you and her?
I don't remember. I don't remember anything.
I remember this conversation. I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. Long time, before any of this ever happened.
Full circle. Crazy, well, I, the reason I ask that is because, you know, sometimes God asks you to do things that you don't really want to do. And I remember when I felt like the Lord was, you know, he was setting things up. Like, I'm not doing a very good job of describing this to you all. But when after we came out of that funeral service, as crazy as it sounds, we went and did that service in Elizabethan. Mm-hmm. And then, I'm not joking, people started calling and wanting to book us. I guess it just kind of started spreading by word of mouth. And so Carmen, at the time, I kept trying to convince her, like, okay, maybe this is something that we should think about. And she was like, she was, at first, it wasn't that you were against it. It was just, I think, that you wanted to make sure it was something that the Lord wanted, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't want to do, like, you know, there, this may be bad, but I've heard, like, a pastor say before, or a lay preacher, he's like, I just thought, you know, I could do that. Like being a preacher, he'd be like, "Well, I could do that," and I was thinking, "That ain't why you do that," you know.
Yeah, well, I guess
I could pastor. I was like, "And this must be a calling of some sort,"
right.
And so I just didn't want to do it because we could,
sure.
Right. You know well, what I mean?
Trust me, I'm always the one going to be putting on the brakes on everything. Be like, whoa.
And I'm always the one putting on the gas.
No, I've. You know, whenever you all, when I love traveling and singing, and I think at the time, I was still, my dad was still able to kind of go. So that's when he and I were going. We weren't like going a lot, but we'd sing a couple of places. And I thought to myself, like, you know, I would love to travel and sing. You know, I traveled my whole life when I was a kid. But if you know my testimony, after doing all the crazy, ignorant things that I did, I just assumed when I got saved that was kind of done. So when the Lord opened up the door for us to start traveling and singing again, it was like, wow. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've always wanted to.
Do you remember? Do you remember being hesitant at all, or were you ready? What?
Well. You're going to think I'm lying, but I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I remember this being somewhat your two brainchild here, you know. I remember y'all talking about it and me being like, wait now, I don't know if we need to do that.
I do remember one time we were having a conversation. I think you'll remember this, maybe not. But we were talking about maybe coming up with a name or something like that. And we came a hair of calling ourselves Cornerstone. Does anybody remember that?
I remember something about Afton, Sweet Afton.
Sweet Afton, yeah, I remember that too. Anyway,
Nickel Creek was taken, so.
Y'all have seen that movie 50 First Dates with Drew Barrymore? Uh-huh. That's me.
You don't remember any of that?
No.
Okay. 10-second Tom.
That's so me.
Well, I'm glad we made a lasting impression.
Yeah.
I was, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so after we kind of started getting those bookings, we were just traveling around we'd used the church's sound system. We didn't have a vehicle for the ministry. We didn't have a trailer or anything like that. And so we just started going. And I remember we had this big, thick 3-ring binder with all of our songs in it that we could do. And in the front of it, to keep track of it, Carmen just wrote on a piece of paper, Phillips and Banks songs. And we had been searching for a name for a really long time.
Yeah.
And we looked at that and we were like, well, I guess that's as good as any. So that's kind of how the name transpired. But
What do you mean? Can I talk about that service we had at Roy Lane?
Sure, yeah, that's right. Oh,
that was
was early on.
Yeah, we were using their sound system. Man, I'll never forget that night as long as I live. We would sing a couple songs, then Pastor Roy would get up and preach a little bit. I'm going to hush and let y'all sing.
Yeah.
Then we'd sing a couple more songs. I'm going to hush and let y'all sing. He'd preach a little bit. But that was the night he said, we've been praying about taking on another missionary. And I believe these youngins right here. And we're looking at each other going, we don't even have a group name.
Yeah.
who's a missionary?
Yeah. But it's like we'd been singing. I mean, like you said, it was just call after call. By that time, I don't really remember how, I was sitting here trying to rack my brain other than just figuring out we could sing a part.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there was one practice that I remember, and you looked at us and was like, I mean, I could try to sing some bass. And we were like, well, okay, because I'd only ever heard him sing tenor. And he was like, well, I could try to sing some bass. And the next thing you know, he's growling and dragging the floor with all those notes. And so then he just started coming with us all the time.
So it started out,
Phillips and Bank started out as a trio. Phillips and Bank. And then it moved to a quartet. So, but anyway.
That was the same night, though. You were getting ready to tell about the.
No, go ahead.
You tell it.
No, you go ahead.
Fine.
Somebody
I'll go
tell
ahead.
It.
I don't even know
that
what
that was the same night, though. I think we were sitting at Cookout.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of ours said. We had one friend show up at that same service where the pastor was like, we're going to take them on. And one of our friends says, I'm going to pray for y'all sound system, Tyler McMullins.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Was that
And that's
good,
exactly
Tyler?
How he said it.
I'm going to pray for y'all sound laughing. System. Y'all need your own sound system. Okay. So Jack was like, well, yeah. All right, brother. You know, we're just still no group name. We haven't like, yeah, this is what we're doing. So Tyler says, I'm praying for y'all sound system. We had another friend of ours come that night, and he ended up coming to Cookout with us, and he said, y'all need a sound system. Tell me how much you need. I'm going to write you a check. And so, but before that, Jacob's like, well, we probably need a couple main speakers and blah, 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 and starts to put, which our buddy's like, just tell me what you need, man. So
that was, what, 7.5 years ago?
Yeah.
This July? Mm-hmm. Almost 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And aren't we still using the monitors?
We are.
Yep.
Yeah.
The very same monitors.
Still got the same mics.
We still have them. Olivia still uses one of those. Uh-huh.
Still got the same trailer. Because that same friend.
That poor old thing's tired. Though.
Bless his heart. We've put it through it. But
we've pulled a lot of miles in that thing.
Yeah, we have. But it just, yeah, and then. I don't know. It was like
after that, we kind of figured out, hey, we need a CD, you know, like we need to record some music. And around that time, I don't know what it was, but it was like the Lord was giving us quite a few original songs.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours had written one, and she pitched it to us, and we recorded it. And then Carmen had written Stuck in the Wilderness, and around that same time, she had written a song called Before He Offered You His Hand.
We're going to redo it sometime. I'm holding on to it.
Yeah, and then I had written a song called I've Been Set Free, and I had written a song when I first got saved called I Need You.
And
Glory That Will Be, Holding You Today.
Oh,
we wrote together. And so God, it was just a season where God was giving us a lot of original songs. And so we went to this guy that we knew, and he is a multi-talented musician.
Absolutely.
And he can play anything. He can sing anything. And he produced the tracks on our very first record. And then we went to a guy locally here in town, and his name is Joel Sanders. And I've known Joel for years and years and years. Joel, if you ever watch this, thank you for producing the vocals on our very first record. We love you. Mm-hmm. And he produced the vocals on that record. He mixed it. He mastered it. And so, you know, that's how we got our very first recording. We just needed something to put on a product table to sell. And so that's how all that came to be. And then, Carmen, you tell them about going to the next step. What was the next big thing? Do you remember? Bowling Fest. Tell them about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was that same friend who told us about Bowling Fest. I can't remember how he heard about it.
I remember. I think it was just a friend that sent me like a Facebook thing. advertise.
So we thought, well, we've never done anything like that. And the reason we did it was because if you won, you got a 10-song CD done at Daywind. Using Daywind tracks, you'd be covering, you know, doing cover songs. But we were like, free CD.
Sounds good.
Let's give it a shot. What do we have to lose? So we went to that bowling fest, and I remember we sang Stuck in the Wilderness.
We did.
And
that song has just been a big part of our ministry.
Yeah, it has.
It really, really has.
And that I prayed about, of course, you know, you're always going to pray about songs, you know, asking the Lord to give you a song. But I was praying out because I'd never written a song, and I still have not written another one after those. I don't think, no.
But you could.
But no, so I kind of put it to the Lord, and I was like, Lord, this is your fault. And if you're making us do this, not making, but if this is what you want us to do, then you better give us music to sing.
Not only that, but you used to pray
for dates.
Carmen's
to fill
a prayer
up
warrior
too.
She used to pray for dates to come in too.
I'd put it on the back of a little business card that we had, and on every date that was open, like that was still open, I was like, every date. I put it down on that, and it was cool because I just prayed, Lord, this is your doing. Like, if this is what you want, then you have to fill the calendar. I don't want to strive at this. I want to know this is your leading. And so I would just, every time Jacob would get a date, and I just cross him off. I just remember marking one after another off as he would do it. And next few months, I'd put the rest of the next three months on there, you know.
Man, I love those days.
He was faithful. He's faithful.
I was telling Pastor Lynn about that. Was that Saturday night? This past weekend?
Yeah.
Lynn Lockwood at First Baptist Church Troy, Pennsylvania.
Yes. He was kind of asking about like how it all started, and he was telling his testimony of how he got into pastor and all that stuff. And anyway, that story popped back in my head, Carm. I'm trying not to look back at you, so I stay in the mic. But I told him, I said, and it randomly popped up. I said, Carmen used to take our, not even this business card, our old one, like the very first.
Oh, Kayla Schrader took those pictures.
So the very first business card, man, paper.
Yeah. I had hair and no beard.
Brother, I still didn't have hair, but I had a beard. So, but yeah, I told him, I said, Carmen used to write those dates on there. And I said, I remember that's exactly what
she'd take pictures of it and send it in our group chat and say, pray for
this. For these
dude. I was really like, please pray because, you know.
Have you ever thought about how long that group chat has been going?
A long time.
Oh, wow, man.
A long time.
Yeah.
But I thought that, I told him, I said, because he had prayed something very similar, like when the Lord called him out of where he was at, he didn't have any further steps.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is getting old, all right. It was 1 week. He said, mm-hmm. Within the week, the Lord had called him. They found the two churches that he was at the night we were there. But I told him, I said, well, that's funny. I said, because Carmen, that's kind of how it happened to us. When the Lord called us out there for a while, it was just maintenance work and finding stuff to do. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But when we finally accepted that, we figured out the group name. We figured out this is what we're doing. That's always stuck in my head, and I've always remembered when I'm like, we've only got one date this weekend, you know. I think of those times. I think about the business card. It's like a
picture in your brain.
Yeah, of Carmen saying, you did this, Lord. You have to you have to provide for it. So
went to Bowling Fest in Kentucky.
Yeah, and we actually won that night. And I mean, we were shaking so much.
Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget that.
So nervous. Jacob, we had to get the CD. We forgot the CD. You had to take it up there with you if you won.
Well, we didn't know we were singing right then.
Right, and then so, like, when they announced it, you had to get up, take them to your CD, and just sing your song right then. And I was like, oh, no, we forgot the CD. Jacob went back. He's trying to fumble with his envelope, and his hands are shaking so much that he couldn't get it out of the
envelope.
Shaking
like a leaf.
Well, I remember the guy was like, you guys they're going to perform their song on the main stage. You know, we're in this huge audience. And Jacob looks over at him like in front of, right now? He's, yes, right now. I'll be right back.
So through that, the Lord provided a CD that we didn't have to pay a dime for, and which was amazing. And we still sing many of those songs.
Does anybody remember the name of the producer on that record?
Marty Funderburk.
Okay, Marty Funderburk also wrote, You Died For Me, So I Will Live For You.
Yeah, on the new record.
On the new record. So.
Yeah.
All right. So that was that's a cool little God story about that. It's called A Few of Our Favorites. So if you're interested in that, you can look it up online.
Check it out.
Anybody remember the story about our Christmas record? That's the next big story, I think. The next big God story.
Kentucky Fanfare.
Yes, that's where we were.
Oh, yeah.
So we had we went to this event called Kentucky Fanfare. Randall Wilds puts it on. It's now held in Alabama, I think. But
it's not Kentucky Fanfare anymore.
It's Alabama Fanfare now.
And that's what's wrong. I'm kidding.
So we went over there and we sang. And there was this guy that we met there named Rob Novell. And he actually runs the Charles Novell, which is his dad, School of Music. And we met him that weekend, hit it off with him. He's a great guy. We love him dearly. And so we sang a few times, and we honestly, I don't know if y'all have ever experienced this or not, but we were like, Lord, you know, what is the purpose of you having us here this week? What do you want us to accomplish? What do you want to do through this week? And I honestly didn't know. I mean, I really didn't.
And you remember we only went for a couple days because you had a mowing schedule to get to, and you had other things you had to do work-wise. And so we were like, okay, how many days can we go? And it was like a whole week, wasn't it? I think it's a whole week event.
Well, I mean,
cooler
we did
full of sandwiches.
And oh yeah,
right
oh,
to
yeah.
the booth.
Well, I mean, we do that.
We didn't have a motorhome or anything, so we had to get hotel rooms and all that stuff. So it was a lot more expensive even back then. And then you had a booth fee and all that. So we just went
on a Monday and a Tuesday.
Yeah,
and how do you even remember that?
I don't know, but I remember Monday and Tuesday we went because there was, you know, the crowds were a lot less on Monday and Tuesday than they were later in the week and the weekend and stuff.
So we thought, well, we'll go down there and just maybe we'll meet somebody and it, you know, it'll be good. We can network or whatever. So we went down there and sang, and there was a lady in the audience, and I still to this day don't know 100% sure. I got a pretty good idea who it is, but I still don't know to this day 100% sure who it was. But she approached Rob, and she was talking to him, and she said, "Hey, do you see that group up there that just sang?" And he said, "Yeah, they're pretty good." And she said, "Yeah, I really like them." She said, "And he owns a recording studio."
Yep.
And she said, "I want them to record at your studio." And he said, "Well, I mean, I'd have to go talk to them first, you know. I mean, I don't know if they want to record or not." And at the time, we had really been interested in making a Christmas recording.
Yeah,
we needed something to where we could travel in the month of December and, you know, not go broke. So we needed a Christmas record. So Rob came to us and he said, "This lady wants you to record at my studio." And I said, "Well, Rob, I mean, I like you, but I don't know you from Adam, you know." and he said, "Well, she wants to pay for it." And I was like, "Where's your studio?
We'll be there."
What days are we at?
So that lady literally wrote him a check that night and paid for our entire Christmas recording.
Yep.
And so that was just a really special.
And he was so God good. Thing. Like, there was, you know, Christmas music, you can't do a whole lot. You need orchestration. You need that magical sound, you know. And he was so kind to,
patient.
Like, try to fit stuff like that in there without actually paying for an orchestra, you know.
Well,
and he got Jeff Stice.
Yeah, Jeff Stice.
To play all kinds of orchestra. And he was brilliant.
He is. He was brilliant.
So, anyway, Rob did a very good job of trying to fit all our dreams into that little
recording. Project. And, you know... Rob, so we love you and we appreciate you.
We do love you.
If you watch this ever in your life.
That was also Olivia's breakthrough.
That's right.
Was that the first thing she recorded?
Yeah.
Does Way anybody remember? Oh, well.
Right.
I actually remembered something.
Take
yeah.
What it song helps that we've sung it every year.
Away in a manger.
Away in a manger.
So she sang that. And does anybody remember how old she was? She was five years old when she recorded that song.
I didn't
song.
Speak that time. I just.
So anyway, after that record, so that was like what year? Maybe 2019, something like that.
You didn't tell them the best probably. Part, man.
Oh, what was the best part?
Rob gave her, what's that award, Carmen?
The Banana Award.
The Banana Award. She still has it because Rob asks her all the time at Quartet Convention. But when she was in the studio, your mom went with us on that troop. And I think that was her first troop with us, which was awesome. I remember being in the van when we got down there. We stayed at an Airbnb. Nobody else probably remembers. But
I guarantee I don't.
She said, we had, again, we brought our own food. We brought a cooler, all that stuff. They actually had a refrigerator at that place. But your mom... The lunch meat was in the car.
Oh, she was so worried about
buying. I do remember that. You think lunch meat's okay out there? She was like obsessing over the lunch meat in the cooler.
I said, Mom,
put it in the fridge.
It's in the cooler. I'm going to go out there and eat it. I'm just
worried.
I do
remember that.
Yeah, you remember.
Yeah. But Olivia, so Mamma V took Olivia to play while we were recording, but when she came in and did her one song, I remember Olivia, we're all crying because it's so cute. She's singing Away in a Manger. And when she got done, she said, can I go play now?
Yeah, I remember that. She didn't care.
Still don't. I'm kidding.
But that led us up to like 2019, something like that.
Yeah, something around there.
Then COVID hit, and that was a struggle for
a
little while.
To a lot of cameras, like we are tonight.
Yeah, exactly. but then we made our very first recording in Nashville.
Yeah.
And that was the first record that we really started like releasing singles to radio and all of that sort of thing. And by that time, our dates had kind of grown and we were booking more dates. And we recorded a CD called This Is Your Day. And it has songs like, if you know anything about our ministry, we've sung some of these songs for a long time.
5 years.
Yeah. And it has like this... Heaven in Your Heart.
Yeah.
Heaven in Your Heart was a huge song, still is for us. People ask for it just about everywhere we go.
And Guilt was covered by Grace.
Guilt was covered by Grace.
Man, Sweet we peas. Sing it every single time we have a service.
She's so excited about that one.
But one of the songs that I think gets overlooked off that record is Autumn Song.
Which one?
Glorify His Name.
Glorify Thy Name.
Yeah. Josh Roberts, if you're watching this, we brought it up. But I love that song.
It's because I hate singing lead.
That's so weird. You have such a wonderful voice, but she would rather sing parts as anything.
All day long.
So, but it
she
is
said,
a...
She said, if I ever lose my, like I can't sing, I'd be happier to run sound. I was like, what are you talking about?
Oh, man.
Remember that time I lost my voice for like a month and I did have to run sound? I got laryngitis. I was on steroids for like a month. It was horrible.
Oh,
looking back on that, we should have bought a snake and you could have just sat out in the audience and really ran the sound.
I sat on the stage. Sat on the stage and ran sound behind you.
An audio snake, not a reptile, by the way.
No, we ain't that kind of Christians.
But so after that, we recorded a project called Sing Them Again, and that's a collection of old hymns, and out of that project came probably the most popular song that we have, and it's that bluegrass tune that we do called Man in the Middle. And then
it's all about Caleb.
Well,
Heaven in Your Hearts, just, Caleb.
Consider the Lilies,
song. Yeah.
Man in the Middle.
Hey, if you're smart. You do what the people like.
Yeah, that's right. We're just riding the wave, buddy.
If it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
They just
don't die,
songs.
Please.
That's
we can't
is,
do it without
man.
You.
I mean, we could, but it wouldn't be nearly
it
as
would
good.
It would be bad.
Jacob has always told me with all this stuff with my kidneys and everything, he said, I don't care if your whole body falls apart. He does care. He's like, but I'll carry you in there. You have to sing. I said, okay.
Well, you know, your whole body might be falling apart, but brother, I'm telling you, your vocal cords
your voice
are
still
back
works.
There pumping
they
me
are,
full of air. Keep going, brother. Keep going.
Have you seen those air in a can that they make for people who hike? Like when they get to high altitudes and they like suck like pure oxygen out of the can? We're going to put that on the stage for Caleb.
Hey, at least we have a plan.
You know
if everything
about?
Goes south.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we could do that for you. I'm just
you
like sitting
me.
Over there like a puppet.
I see you holding me like a bagpipe.
Like a bagpipe.
Come on, man.
One more concert, Caleb. I got to pay the light bill.
Start that track again. No, brother, we ain't got enough air for it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so, yeah, and that kind of leads us up to, I guess, where we are now. One other God.
Poverty.
Poverty.
What?
One other God miracle that I'd like to share about before we kind of wrap it up. We're at about 45 minutes. We're doing pretty good. was the motorhome.
Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, I think that's a...
Do you remember that whole process?
Yeah, I do.
It's okay, closer.
Good.
Yeah.
So when we... what?
Nothing. Something else was happening. That's the year I
that Kale tried to die.
Right before the...
So, yeah, I remember.
You
well,
are, I remember
yeah,
that
Yeah, you're right. We were trying. Well, we were planning for the fundraiser concert.
Yep. I'm sitting in a hospital bed like...
Oh, dear.
Josh Roberts.
I wasn't in the hospital.
When I finally came to, Jack Bo calls me and he's like, hey, brother, don't worry about anything. Everything's going great. You know, just encourage your Jack Bo. And then he says, Josh wants to talk to you. And he says,
Josh Roberts, one of the pastors at our church, and he's a nut job.
He'll be on one of these episodes sometime. But he says, Caleb, you need to hurry up and get out of the hospital. Our giving has gone down 30% because people are worried about you and not the RV.
You just have to know Josh.
I'm on my way back. But he knew. He got me laughing, so that was cool.
If you've never followed our ministry or you're new to us, back right around the same time that we were trying to get a motorhome, Caleb went into the hospital and tried to die. He was
literally.
He's a type 1 diabetic. And anyway, long story short, he got out of the hospital, obviously, and he's doing better, but he's on this health journey right now that is really
rocky.
So, but he does good.
I'm rocking it.
Yeah, you're rocking it. But, you know.
As we started traveling more and more out of town, it was getting very difficult in a 15-passenger van.
Oh, amen.
I think the Michigan trip
that broke
really, that really broke us.
My goodness.
Remember I had a gallbladder attack that trip, too?
I do.
And I was so sick.
You spent the night in the bathtub.
In the floor.
Had the mattress in the back of the van.
In the playpen back there. So me and Emma used to call it the playpen.
Hey, now, his dad and papa, they're like, you need to put a bed back in there? All right, let's do it.
Yeah, buddy.
So they built a platform in the back of the 15-passenger, put that plywood on there. We bought a mattress for it, and it...
I've slept on many back trips there. On
I did. You slept on the way back from the hospital.
Oh,
right
I
then.
Sure
you
did.
Yeah.
Looked like the roof was coming off because I hadn't slept in 2 or 3 days, but I was hallucinating.
Oh, I was like, what?
You remember? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Whenever we left, we went to Cracker Barrel. Caleb doesn't remember that.
No.
You don't remember going inside. Not we even took you inside.
So drugged up.
I don't remember any of that trip.
Well.
And I kept thinking, oh, God, I knew it was taking 6 hours home, but it could have been 12 days in my brain.
Wow.
We got home. He didn't get off the couch for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Very weak.
Well,
but so anyway, it got very difficult in the 15-passenger van. Olivia was still in her booster seat too, trying to sleep.
Couldn't even,
you know, sitting up. And anyway, so we just knew it was time to get something that we can actually sleep on or rest on at
Absolutely.
Least, and it take care of hotel rooms. It would take care. We could cook.
Pack the good food.
Yeah, it has a refrigerator. You know. So anyway, so God kind of he lined it all up. And this a man from our church too had approached and said, why don't you do a fundraiser concert?
He was really encouraging us to do that because we just were really shying away from that. We didn't want to like beg people for money or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We didn't want to feel like that, you know, we were being a burden to people. And so we were really hesitant about making our need known. And so he really encouraged us.
He was really encouraging and pushing us to try it. And anyway, I mean, the Lord showed out.
Yeah,
we found a vehicle through a friend, and they were going to sell their vehicle. And it was going to be perfect. It was the perfect size for what we needed. It wasn't too big, but it was just enough room, you know, and that's what we have now. So we set an amount what we thought we would need to get it and also do some repairs we already knew we were going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, we're going to try to raise this amount of money. And God just went, no, honey, I got something else. I think you need this amount of money.
And we did.
Oh, my gosh. He went above and beyond what we asked for. And it's amazing how every other thing that we didn't know we needed it for, he took care of through that, too. You know, he knows all that we need before. We think we got it, but, you know.
And I mean, this wasn't a small amount.
Mm-mm. Oh my gosh.
I mean, you know
how much they cost, you know.
Yeah. To some people, it would be, to people with money.
I mean, to me, it wasn't very much money.
Right.
Just kidding, it was a lot.
To some people, it wouldn't seem like a lot of money.
Yeah. In Bitcoin.
If you have, you know, a bunch of money. But,
to us, it was astronomical.
Like millions of dollars.
It was like, so how many years are we going to have to travel in the white van before we get that?
You're going to do what?
So, but God has been faithful. And I think the overarching theme of the origin story of Phillips and Banks, the continuing story of Phillips and Banks, and all those little God things that have happened to us over the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Almost nine. No.
Almost
eight?
Eight.
Almost right. Eight.
I don't know. 2017.
Almost eight years.
Yeah.
Has been because, and I'm not, there have been plenty of times in my life where I've been disobedient to the Lord. Okay. So I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. I'm not bragging on myself or us, but I really do think that when you are trying your best to be obedient to God, that he blesses you and he shows you favor. And he will help you get to where you need to be. And trust me, the four of us, we had no idea what we were doing.
Still don't.
We had no clue how to start. And God just, he did it all. He really did. And we're so grateful.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about before we, like, actually did the fundraiser before we put anything out there. We met some friends at a shepherd's luncheon. We prayed about it with some great pastor friends of ours. And then it seemed like after that, one church came in.
You're right. It started before we started.
Before we start, same way with the, before we ever had a group name, somebody was buying us equipment, somebody bought us a trailer. It's like God was going, you're going to have to start catching up. And so I remember somebody, y'all can tell me who it was. I can't remember, but I remember, I'm pretty sure you showed it to me, Jacob or Carmen, showed us the check that somebody had sent before we said anything about a ministry vehicle, and they had drawn a bus in the memo.
On the memo line.
You remember that?
I know exactly who it is. I'm not going to say who it was they wouldn't want us to say that. But
and we were like, I guess we're gonna have to catch up and figure something out.
Yeah, he did start putting. So I was putting money into an account for something that I didn't know we were ready for, like ready to start. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that one church here in Bristol.
Yes,
he came to me and he's like, "Hey, our church wants to we want to give to your vehicle fund."
We don't have a vehicle fund.
Yeah.
I said, what vehicle fund? He said, well, you got one now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they gave a sizable donation. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a small little church, too.
Yeah. I mean, so God is bigger. And if you ever wonder, well, I could never do X, Y, or Z because I don't have X, Y, or Z, just remember that God owns it all. And, you know, it's good for us, I think. And by us, I mean us four, to take ourselves back and remember how faithful God has been over the last 8 years and remember what it was like being praying not to be stuck in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And remember what it was like to wonder, hey, are the dates going to come in? Can we do this? You know, is God going to let us? And it's just really good for my spirit tonight, I think, to be reminded of how faithful he's been. And he'll be faithful to you, too. I promise you that. So, anyway.
What is it that our pastor always says? He quotes A.W. Tozer, I think, maybe.
He quotes him a lot. Any dead old theologian, Chad quotes.
And he's just got all those little nuggets in his head, you know. But he said, God's will, anything in God's, this is not exactly right, excuse me. Anything in God's will never lack God's supply.
Yeah.
You know, that God, what God wants to do, what he wants to happen, he will always give everything needed to do it. And that's in the little things and the big old things that we've seen him do.
But I think I've learned, over the years, we've been in full-time ministry now for almost 15 years.
Cumulatively. Really.
Yeah, cumulatively. And Phillips and Banks, 8 years, and then we were somewhere else for 7 before that. And so we've been doing ministry a long time, and I think I have learned the difference between a need and a want.
Yeah, yeah. For real.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, and there is a difference. There is a big difference.
Man, but I've even seen, I mean, I can think back in things that the Lord did way before we even started this that I think fueled my faith in trusting that he would always take care of you.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I remember we were taking our lunches into work before that, and we were like struggling at the time, and
financially.
Yes, and I remember taking ramen noodles to work.
I remember
every
thinking
single
my
day.
Heart is going to explode if I eat any more ramen noodles. Like 50,000 milligrams of sodium every meal.
Yeah, so I remember doing that and thinking, Lord, I can't even do any better than this right now, and I don't know how we're gonna do that. And then somebody literally walks in the back door with arms full of groceries, mm-hmm. and sits them down on the table, and I'm like, how did you do that in the exact time that I was wondering if I could trust you if you were gonna provide it? And I think through that time of struggle, then I came out of that going, okay, well, Lord, if I've seen you do this before, then I have to trust you with where we are and what's next, because you've already been so faithful.
And I think in different ways, God is asking that of us even now.
Sure.
It may not be about starting a new ministry or whatever. Like it was before.
Or quitting your job.
Or quitting your job or walking away from.
Well, I've been wanting to talk to you guys about that.
Oh, no.
You better not.
Somebody else can do social media because I'm over it. Just kidding.
I hope so. I hope you're kidding. I'm honest to goodness. First of all, we can't change the name and rebrand everything. That'd take too much work, too much money. And secondly, there's nobody else I'd rather... Nobody else I'd rather travel with.
Yeah.
Honestly. Nobody else I'd rather do ministry with. Hey, Olivia.
Hey.
It's hard to believe that this little girl was like 3 years old when we first started.
Three or four years old.
Hello.
You got the Holy Ghost.
Will you shut that door, please?
Do you mind? Thank you.
She's come back from church.
Where we should be, ain't me.
I've been to church about 20 times this week. I think I'm all right.
I'm all churched out. What's that song? Anyway, sorry, I'm getting off topic. But to wrap it up, that's where we come from. That's how it all started. Started a funeral.
And it's going to end at one, too.
Amen, bro.
Yikes.
But
I was thinking throughout all this, when we started talking about the RV, I was thinking... We need to do an RV episode because, and I'm not going to tell it, and you don't tell it either. We're going to save it for another episode, but you put this in your brain. You remember our first trip to North Carolina in that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, when it was freezing and it was like March or something?
I said don't tell it on it.
We'll get it.
We'll get there,
it.
Though.
We'll get it.
Just know it was not great.
We have a few...
Adventures
that we've had in the RV.
I'm telling you, but there's no greater adventure than
Ridgeview,
being with your friends
when you knock that
and serving the Lord, and singing about Jesus. I swear to you guys, I know it's hard sometimes, but I love it.
Have you noticed since getting the RV, we haven't really fought as much?
No, that's
me
true.
And you.
Yeah, well, they never fight, but.
That's
all right.
Actually so true.
If
for
you
some
see me
reason.
And Carmen fighting, it's who's going to take the last Reese cup. But she's like, no, you take it. No, you take it.
All right.
Let's
well,
split it.
Now, what are we... What?
Or give it to me, you're a diabetic.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. The Phillips and Banks origin story. Please... Caleb, go ahead and tell them what you need to tell them.
Don't forget to subscribe to the page and click the little bell so you'll get notifications of when the next episode pops up. Also, if you're watching this and you're not checking us out on Facebook, Tuesday nights at 7:30, wherever you're at, come and check out the ministry page. We go live and we have a lot of fun over there too. Different content, but we still have a lot of fun. So check it out and spread the word.
All right, we're out like Meemaw's teeth. Good night.